Morning. My name is Jackie, and I am a compulsive overeater and a sugar addict. And today I am 113 days abstinent, and it's a miracle. I have been in and out of this program since 1988. I was a year sober, and I had gained some weight because once I put down the alcohol, the sugar just became everything. I grew up with six brothers and one sister, and my dad was an alcoholic, and it was a crazy, scary household. I never knew what mood my dad would be in when he came home. Never knew if I was going to have a happy dad or an angry dad. I was sexually abused by my father and by people in the neighborhood and friends of the family. I grew up thinking that if someone was attracted to my body, they must love me. And so from a little girl, I had that all mixed up. When I was 10 years old, I faked a fainting disorder. And I had a teacher who I loved. I was 10 years old. He was my fifth grade teacher, and I loved him. I loved him romantically, and I loved him as a father, a daughter would love a father. I was so confused. And I thought if I could faint in his classroom, my vision was that he was going to ride with me in the ambulance to the hospital. And I did that, and he did ride in the ambulance with me to the hospital. And I can remember opening my eye just a tiny bit to look up at him, to see him looking down at me. And for many years, I felt ashamed about that until I had a therapist tell me that that was one of the most resourceful things she'd ever heard. I was able to get out of my house for almost a week because of that. And I didn't have to worry about my father. And so that's my early childhood. And so because I've done a lot of work on all this stuff, I understand that hurt people, and that what happened to me happened to my father, happened to his father probably. And so I understand it, and I can have compassion today. I was always very athletic. I played tennis, I played racquetball. I was always running around, but I remember having a big appetite, and I remember loving sugar. And I never put on any weight because I was so active. So that was never a problem as a kid. My full name is Jacqueline. And when I was a kid, they called me Lynn the Pin. So that tells you what my body looked like then. And then when I was about 14, my best friend Mary said, "I hate my thighs. My thighs are too big." And from then on, I hated my body and I hated my thighs. I thought, if she hated her thighs, then mine must be bad. So I would never wear shorts. I always had this shame about it. as life went on, I started drinking at 12, so I had that going on. And, but I always loved, one of my greatest memories is sitting around my aunt's table and everybody having coffee and eating those round things. And I couldn't wait to go on Saturdays to go do that. And so it was, the obsession was always there. It was just never a problem because I, a problem meaning like no one, said, boy, you should look at your weight, or anything like that. But, on the inside, I had a weird view of how I looked. So, I drank and I drugged, and that was the only way that I could be intimate, is under the influence. And I was very promiscuous and looking for love in all the wrong places. And thank you, God, at 25 in 1987, I found Alcoholics Anonymous. Immediately, I started to put on weight, and in 1988 was my first time going to OA. I thought, I can't gain this weight because, if I do, I won't be lovable. And I ended up getting a sponsor right away. And my sponsor at the time told me, if you don't eat what I eat, I can't help you. And I just thought, oh, this is how it goes. That sounds strange, but this is how it goes. So I ended up doing that. And I think I got really crazy about the food. And I was always afraid someone was going to eat my food in the refrigerator. And it was just like a stressful way to live. But I ended up losing 70 pounds, and I got to a point where someone said to me, Jackie, you're looking like too thin now. But I couldn't see it. I still saw fat. So like I can see how this disease is at one end compulsive overeating and excess fat, and the other end, anorexia. Like it's just both ends of the same coin. So I think it was 6 or 8 months that I was abstinent, and I went on a ski trip to Switzerland. And, well, actually, let me tell you what happened before that. Every day I used to eat after my lunch, I would eat an apple, and after my dinner, I would eat an orange. And I had a stressful day at work one day, so I grabbed the orange and ate that. And when I told my sponsor, she said, I'm going to have to take some quiet time and think about whether you lost your abstinence or not. And I knew that there was something seriously wrong there, that it was not an intentional thing that I did. And so anyway, I go to Switzerland, and one morning I told myself I ate too much yogurt, and I just said, oh, it's all over. I'm not abstinent anymore. I went crazy. I just ate everything in sight. And
Can you please shake down the screen? Okay.
so I came home feeling shame and guilt, and I felt like I screwed everything up. And I think I hit every fast food drive-through known to man and binged my brains out. I hated myself. I blamed myself. It was awful. And so from 89 until 1990, I just struggled with the food. I kept trying to go to OA, trying to get back. And I just kept eating and eating and eating. And in 1990, I went into treatment in Jamaica, Queens, New York. And this treatment center, the therapy was wonderful, but the food, they told us we should eat sugar at least once a week. If we have a sugar problem, you have it once a week. And that worked for about 2 minutes, right? So I get home and, I'm gaining, I'm losing, I'm going away, I'm not going away. And then finally in 1999, I went to an AWOL and I decided I'm going to try to stop eating sugar and white flour just to see what happens, because I really didn't believe I was addicted to it. This is how this disease, like, totally, tells me I'm not a compulsive reader. Like, I thought, I don't know what I thought, but anyway, I decided to stop eating it, and I got a very loving sponsor, and I ended up losing 100 pounds. From 99 to I think 2001, and I was playing tennis, I was playing racquetball, I was skiing, I was biking, I was doing everything that I had loved and hadn't done for all those years. And then I got into a relationship. There were red flags the moment I met him, but I ignored them. And I ended up using sex as a drug, and that became my drug. And a year into the relationship, I realized that this was going to go nowhere, and I decided to end the relationship. I was in so much pain because I wasn't eating, I wasn't drinking. I wanted to die. I wanted to die. And I can remember going to my therapist and saying that, and him telling me I had to make a contract with him. And it was one of the most painful things I had ever gone through because I loved this guy so much. And so then a year after that, I met another guy. Again, red flags, like big red flags that I ignored. And ended up, I still wasn't over the other guy, and I ended up having this guy move in, and that ended poorly. But I was abstinent for a couple of months after I met him, and then I picked up the food. And I know it was because I knew I shouldn't have been in the relationship. We ended up going on a cruise. I binged my brains out. And I can remember standing, we had one of those rooms with a deck, and I can remember standing there on the deck wanting to jump off the deck. I was in so much pain and self-hate over the food. That relationship ended, and I just kept eating, not eating, going to OA, not going to OA. Just a real struggle. And, trying every which way to do this program, not do this program. I recently, a couple of years ago, I tried eat, Eating Disorders Anonymous.
5 minutes,
And
Jackie.
they didn't talk about food at those meetings. And I thought that that's going to help me. And, some of it did help, but it just wasn't where I'm supposed to be. So, I am a compulsive overeater and sugar addict through and through. And, like I said, I've tried everything other than this. I've tried to eat moderately. I've tried to, it doesn't matter what I think or what I know. It's what I do. This is a disease. So for many years now, my dad came into AA when I was 14, and for many years I hated him. And when I wanted him to make amends to me for what he did to me, but he was one of those people that was incapable of being honest with himself. And for years, I just was so resentful about that. And finally, I was able to forgive him. I finally got to a point where it didn't matter whether he made amends to me. And he was in a nursing home, and I would go visit him, and I had, limits and boundaries with him. If we hugged, I didn't want him to hold on to me too long. If he started getting rage, he was a rager. If he started raging, I told him I would leave. So I had these boundaries in place, and I was able to forgive him. And then one day, I brought him back to the nursing home after we went to lunch, and we're sitting in the car. And out of the blue, my father said, now this was right when the sexual abuse about the priest came out in Boston. So he said to me, totally unexpected, I'm so sorry I did to you what those priests did to those kids. I have to tell you, those were the most beautiful words I'd ever heard. And I wasn't looking for them anymore. I wasn't expecting them. My dad lived another year. He got dementia, but I felt safe with my father. I felt like he was my buddy. And that was huge. That was such a huge thing for me. And I'm so grateful for that, because a lot of people never get that. So 113 days ago, I was gonna start using a medication to lose weight, and I had a spiritual awakening. And it said, Jackie, yeah, you'll probably lose weight, but you're still gonna be obsessed with food. That's still gonna be there. You need to go back to OA. So I came back. I found this beautiful meeting. I'm so grateful I found a sponsor in this beautiful meeting. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle. 5 days, 2 days was a miracle without eating, without binging. Now, that teacher, and I want to tell you, that teacher from the fifth grade, I used to go and visit him years. Every year, I would visit him, and
1 minute, Jackie.
I decided to make amends to him, and I went into the classroom and told him that I faked that feigning disorder. And he turned away from me a little, and a tear came up down his eye, and he said, do you know my mother used to have men in the house in the room next to me? And it was so painful to have that happen to me. And it was just such a beautiful moment. I'll never, ever, ever forget that. And so here I am, so grateful. And just grateful. Thank you.